this is a podcast recording for The Nature of Things. This podcast was initially recorded April 18th, 1987.
Last week, I gave an account of a recent trip to some of the National Wildlife Refuges along the East Coast, Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware. As I pointed out, a principal benefit of the trip was a preview of spring it afforded us, the cherry and the plum blossoms, the forsythia and the magnolia, as well as the green lawns and wheat fields. Still, we did have some fine views of wildlife, especially in Bombay Hook Refuge in Delaware. Bombay Hook is located on Delaware Bay in the east-central part of the state and encompasses about 15,000 acres, including about 12,000 acres of tidal marshes, about 1,200 acres of freshwater pools, and nearly 2,000 additional acres of mixed upland cover. About half of that is farmed to produce grains for feeding programs at the refuges. The area has a network of interior roads, a good portion of which are open to the public in season. It was a raw day, and we spent more time in roadside bird watching with only a couple of trips on foot to lookout points. Our list of wildlife observed includes only about 40 species of birds and a few mammals. I could have done better than that at Rice Creek or Baltimore Woods, but of course I would never have seen the hundreds of shovelers, that's a medium-sized duck, the males of which have striking plumage, iridescent dusky green heads, dark backs and rumps, and chestnut flanks. The rest of the body, including the breast, the shoulders, and a crescent behind the flank, are pure white. The bills are large, even for ducks, and spatulate or spoon-shaped. When the birds fly, large patches of pale blue at the leading edge of the wings are seen, as is a broad, shiny green area at the trailing edge of the wing. All in all, a rather spectacular bird when seen in full breeding plumage. Even more unusual was the American avocet, a long-necked, long-legged shorebird with a slender, up-curving bill. Though not as strikingly colored as his shoveler, the avocet is still handsome in its summer plumage. The head and neck are sort of a medium tan color, like suntan, while the body is white and the wings are liberally marked with black and white. The contrast is evident whether the birds are on the water or are in flight. The bird is about 15 inches long, including the bill and neck, with a wingspan of about 20 inches, I'd say. Two other small but beautiful ducks were also fairly numerous at Bombay Hook, intermixed with the shovelers. They were the bufflehead, a diving duck, and a green-winged teal. Both of these little ducks are about two-thirds the size of the shovelers. They're really miniatures. Next, in terms of enjoyment for me, were the shorebirds plying the mudflats at low tide. There were numbers of greater and lesser yellow-legged sanderlings, dowitchers, and black-bellied plovers, the latter still in this kind of nondescript winter plumage. To round out the list of birds not seen locally, or what we couldn't see locally, were fish crows, boat-tailed grackles, and mockingbirds in abundance, and a few egrets. This refuge system that we were visiting along the coast was initiated in the 30s to provide a network of safe havens for waterfowl to protect them from to some extent from the heavy hunting pressure along the coast and along the bayside marshes. The theory was that for the system to be effective, the refuges should be no further apart than twice the cruising distance of the waterfowl. It's about 50 miles. Actually, the refuge system on the Delmarva Peninsula, including Kilcahook, Bombay Hook, Prime Hook, Chincoteague, Assateague, and Fisherman's Island along the coast, and Eastern Neck, Blackwater, Smith Island, and Plum Tree on the interior bay, has an average distance of about 35 miles between them. The maximum between any of them is 60 miles and a minimum about 10. This should be a pretty effective network. And even though both the philosophy and the refuge system and the wintering patterns of waterfowl have changed over the decades, the refuge personnel are still pretty serious about waterfowl management. In fact, many of the more senior staff members are not at all happy with a policy that has opened the refuges to the public, including program services. That, as much as anything, accounts for the differing welcome you may receive from one refuge to another. Sometimes you have to barge in to get attention. But I found that anyone with a serious question will receive a courteous and often voluminous answer. Otherwise, there's plenty of information available, self-serve. Visitation at these refuges is big business for the entrepreneurs who live nearby and provide various ancillary services. This is nowhere more evident than at Chincoteague, where the refuge receives an annual visitation of well over $1.5 million a year. Nothing holds better promise in alerting people in general to the values of wild nature than the firsthand exposure to wildlife. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.